Today's daf is Menachos daf Samech Tes. We left off in daf Samech Ches Amid Beis, and for at least the first Amid of today's daf, we're just going to be asking a series of questions. Rami Bar Chama posed a series of four questions. In between the questions, we have some other people's questions. A lot of questions, a lot of halachic shailas on today's daf. So, by Rami Bar Chama, we're about 10, 12 lines before the end of the page. By Rami Bar Chama, second word in the line. By Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Alechem Maushi Yatiru Shalok Hasidron. Can the Shtei Alechem be matir even when it's not in the right order? So what does that mean? So typically, we said in the Mishnah, the chadash, the omer is matir, the chadash for regular people to eat the tvoah chadasha, for regular people to eat the new grain, the shtei alechem. And you bring the shtei alechem and shavuos, it's matir the chadash legavoa. It's matir for the mizbeach. It's matir for karbanos. You're allowed to then use the tvoah chadasha for karbanos. So what about what the Gemara is asking is, if the new grain only came into being after the Omer was brought, but before the Shtei Alechem was brought, is the Shtei Alechem still matirit legavoa? Or do we assume that the Shtei Alechem's effect on the Chadash is a cumulative effect, that only once the Omer was matir, the Chadash, for Hedyot, then the Shtei Alechem could be matirit legavoa? But the Shtei Alechem, Shaloka say, they just have the Shtei Alechem work on it alone, where it never had an Omer to be matirit, maybe that would not work. So by Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Alechem Arshiyat Yushalo Kesidron. So Hechidami, what's the case? Kigon Dezar Inhu Beino Omer L'Shtei Alechem. Let's say it was planted in between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. V'chalaf Alayu Shtei Alechem. Va'omer Mai. So let's say it went through Shtei Alechem. So it does go through both the Shtei Alechem and Omer, but the wrong order. It goes through this year's Shavuos, and then next year's second day of Pesach, where a Korban Omer is brought. So what's the din? Kesidron Sharyon, Shalok Kesidron Lo Sharyon, Odilma Shalok Kesidron Nami Sharyon. Do we assume that it's only Matir when it's Keseder, when it's done in the right order, that it has to be a Korban Omer first, and then a Shtei Alechem, that is Matir Tvo Chadasha, but it can't be in the reverse order, or maybe even Shaloka Sidron, it would work. So before we get to the answer, the Brisker Rav just points out that what's a Chayach talk about Kesidron and Shalok Kesidron if you're talking about two completely different matirim? That the Korban Omer is matir Tvuah Chadasha for regular people, the Shtei Alechem is matir L'Gavoa. So what do you mean Keseder? Keseder means when two things are working on the same issue. So the Brisker Rav points out that from here you see a Yesod, that a Mincha that's brought from Chadash before the Hakravas HaOmer, aside from the fact that it's possible because it's not Mimashki Yisrael, it's not something that it's mutter to a hedyot because chadash is aser to a hedyot. But if you were to bring a korban mincha before the korban omer, it's also pasul mitzad the fact that chadash before the omer is pasul gavoa. The same way it's aser the hedyot, and the omer is matir the chadash both la hedyot and the mikdash, just like the shtei alechem is matir le gavoa. Meaning the omer is not only matir lehedyot, the Omer also on some level is matir legavoa. It just also needs a shtei alechem to be matirit legavoa. It's the two of them that together are matirit legavoa. But it's not that the Omer has nothing to do with heter legavoa. The Omer very much has something to do with it. It's just that it also needs the shtei alechem. So that's the shaila. Does it work shalok kesidron? Since you need the omer and the shtei alechem to be matir legavoa, will it work shalok kesidron? So it's interesting. Karen Ora writes that the suffix of our gemara is only when it comes to tevua, because tevua requires heter omer lehedyot and heter shtei alechem lakrava. But what about yayin? Yayin doesn't need a heter omer because there's no iser chadosh in yayin. But yayin still needs the heter the shtei alechem legavoa. So he says that on that luchar it's pasha that if it grows between the omer and the shtei alechem, the shtei alechem is going to be matrit legavoa completely, because there is no isser of chadash for a hedyot on yayin. It's only on grains, but there is an isser legavoa. The shtei alechem is matir the isser legavoa alone. You don't use the omer at all. But according to the Brisker Rav, it's not so pashut. According to the Brisker Rav, it may have nothing to do with the isser of chadash lehedyot, that the omer has this second function aside from being matir lehedyot. It has a second function of being matir things that are new to Gavoa on some level, at least that it doesn't become possible or whatever, but it has some, it takes it halfway, so to speak, and the Shtei Lechem just completes the Heter, so maybe that would apply for Yayin as well. So anyway, so what's the answer to the Shaila? Amar Rabba Toshema, so let's bring a Raya. Vim Takrav Minchas Bikurim. So what's the Minchas Bikurim? Bim Minchas Omer HaKosav Adabert, speaking about the Minchas Omer. So Mehechan Ba'a, what do you bring a Minchas Omer from? Minas Sa'orin. You always use barley for the Minchas Omer. Satam Minas Sa'orin Oel Minachitin. How do we know you use barley? Maybe you should use wheat for the Minchas Omer. So the Gemara is going to say three ways that we know that a tafka has to be barley that you use for the Minchas Omer, not wheat. Number one, Rav Lozer Omer, Nemar Aviv b'Mitzrayim, Nemar Aviv l'Doros. He uses the term Aviv by Mitzrayim when it talks about the Makas Barad, and he uses the term Aviv l'Doros by the Karban Omer. So Ma Aviv Homer b'Mitzrayim Sa'orin, Af Aviv Homer l'Doros Sa'orin. Just like by Mitzrayim, it was clearly, the Pasuk says clearly that it was referring to Sa'orin, so to l'Doros, it's clearly referring to Sa'orin. That's the first way we know that the Minchas Omer is brought from Sa'orin. The second possible explanation, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Matzinu Yachid, Shemevi Chavaso Minachitin, V'Chavaso Minasa'orin. We find by a Karban Yachid that sometimes it comes from wheat, the Karban, and sometimes it comes from Sa'orin. It's not really sometimes and sometimes. It always comes from wheat, except for the Minchas Sota, the Minchas Knos, the Minchas Sota, that a Sota brings because she did Maisa Behema. We want her to bring for her Karban Ma'achal Behema. But you do, Al Kalpanim, you do find that a Yachid could bring, depending on the situation, it's at least possible that the Yachid will bring a Minchas Sa'orin in that case of a Sota. V'tzibor shemevin chavasa minachitin, mevin chavasa minasa'orin. So it must be that by a tzibor also, that just like a tzibor sometimes brings from chitin, which is almost always, the tzibor also sometimes brings from sa'orin. V'imat omer ba minachitin, but if you can say that the karban omer comes from chitin, lo matzim the tzibor shemevin chavasa minasa'orin, then we will never have a minchas tzibor that has to be brought from sa'orin, because every other example of a karban mincha that a tzibor brings that we're aware of has to be brought from chitin. So it must be that the karban omer is from sa'orin to fill in that requirement that just like a yachid can bring from chitin and from sa'orin, so too a tzibor can bring from chitin and from sa'orin. Third possible way that we know that a karban omer has to be brought from sa'orin, davar acher, imata omer ba minachitin, ein shtei alechem bikurim. Because if the omer were brought from chitim, then the shtei alechem aren't really anything new. They're not really the first anything, because they're not the first chitim from that year's crop to go on the mizbeach. You already had the omer go on the mizbeach, and the shtei alechem are supposed to be bikurim on some level. Now, wait a second, says the Gemara, on that last raya, that's going to be our proof to answer our question about being matir shalo kesidron, about whether the omer and shtei alechem could be matir shalo kesidron. Why? V'misa the shtei alechem shalo kesidron sharyan, if it's true that shtei alechem could be matir even shalo kesidron mishkachasla, you do have a case where you could have brought the omer from chitim and the shtei alechem are still going to be bikurim. How so? The makrav omer mehanach ta'ashrus kodem l'shtei alechem u'basara omer. You bring the carbon omer from that wheat that had taken root before the shtei alechem and after the carbon omer of the previous year. U'basara omer d'shtakid. L'shtei alechem, then you bring the shtei alechem mehanach ta'ashrus kodem l'omer d'hashta. You bring the shtei alechem from that which had taken root before this year's carbon omer, and after last year's shtei alechem, and therefore this year's shtei alechem is chadash in that sense, because it didn't go through last year's omer, but it went through last year's shtei alechem and then this year's omer. So if it's true that it could be matir shelo kesidron, it can be bikurim in a certain sense. So says the Gemara, misavr bikurim lepiro kamrinan lemizbeach kamrinan. No, we're not saying that it should be the bikurim of this wheat. It means it should be the bikurim of the mizbeach, that the mizbeach can't eat new wheat, the mizbeach can't have new wheat before the shtei alechem. V'ha'achal ha'mizbeach m'peri d'hashasa. But in this case, the mizbeach has already had wheat from this year. When you brought the karban omer, it already had wheat from this year. I don't care whether the wheat itself is different than the wheat you had brought for the karban omer, but as far as the mizbeach is concerned, it had wheat from this year, and therefore it would not be considered proper bikurim, and therefore that is not a raya. So at the end of the day, it seems that Rami Bar Chama's question about being Matir Shelo Kesidran is not answered. It remains unanswered. We tried to answer it based on the third of three proofs that the Omer is brought from Sa'or and not from Chitim, but at the end of the day, it remains unanswered. Question number two of Rami Bar Chama. Boy Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Alechem, Hanatza Sharia, O Chanata Sharia. By the Shtei Alechem, if the Hanatza or the Chanata, these are two very early stages in the development of the of the grain. So which one is mutter? Which one is mut? My Hanatza, my Chanata. Ilem Hanatza de Pira v'Chanata de Pira. Hashash Rasha Shaya Hanatza v'Chanata mibayi. So if you're going to tell me about that, we're talking about the Hanatza and the Hashrasha of the fruit itself. So when it comes to grain, the Omer is matir and the Shtei Lechem is matir. Any grain that had taken root before the Omer, even though it didn't grow at all. So Hanatza and Chanata are some stages of growth. If it's already been matir based on the fact that it has taken root, so the further stages of growth are not really a Shaila. Ella Hanatza da'ala v'chanata da'ala. We must be talking about some the development of the leaves before there's any fruit that's visible. Mi havi ki ashrasha olo. At these stages of the development of the leaves, is that a simin that it has taken root? And obviously the heter of the omer is completely tally on whether the item has taken root or not. So that's the issue. Can we tell that it has taken root based on the development of the leaf? So take the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. Now the Gemara is going to, before it gets to the third question of Rami Bar Chama, it's going to raise some other shailas. Really, one other shaila, but the shaila is going to have three ramifications. So it's going to ask one other shaila before we get to the third shaila of Rami Bar Chama. Three ramifications to the shaila that we're about to ask. Excuse me. So by Rava Bar Rav Chanan. Rava Bar Rav Chanan raises the following shaila. Chitin shazaran bekarka, if you plant wheat in the karka, omer matiran o ein omer matiran, is the omer matir the wheat that you plant in the karka or not? So hechidami, the Gemara says, well, what kind of question is that? Ida ashrush tanina, ida lo ashrush tanina. It depends if it took root. That's always the rule. The omer is matir anything that has already taken root before the karban omer, period. So if it took root, good, the omer was matir. If it didn't take root, the omer was not matir. How do I know that? Ditnan. It's enough in the Mishnah. Im ishrishu kodim la omer, omer matirin. Omer matiran. If it took root before the karban omer, the omer is matir such grain. V'im lav, and if it didn't take root before the Karban Omer, Asur, not Shayav Omer Abba. It's going to be Asur until next year's Karban Omer, because then it's still going to be considered Chadash until next year's Karban Omer. Fine, so that's not a Shaila. So Lo Tzricha, no, the Shaila is Dechatzdinu Vizarinu Kodem LaOmer. What if you harvested it and then you replanted it before the Omer? Va'asa Omer v'chalaf alayu, and then the Omer came, and the Omer came afterwards. V'kami bayule ma'ulin kute u'mechal minayu, and so you want to know, can you eat from it? Command the shadya b'kadadamia v'sharinu Omer odil mabatalu l'gabe ara. Do we assume that it's like it was already put in a vessel? It's meaning like if you had something that had taken root, and then before the Karban Omer was brought, and then you pull it out of the ground, but it's just kernels, it's nothing, it's a little nothing, but the Karban Omer was already matir because it had taken root, so then you can certainly eat it because the Karban Omer was matir it. But the question is, if you then put it back in the ground and it has not yet taken root again the second time, so do you view it in the ground as if it's just sitting in a kli, in a jar in your house where you're allowed to eat it, and therefore the omer was matir it? Or do you say, no, now it's bottled to the land and it's considered like a brand new planting, and therefore and it's going to take root this year, and therefore it's going to be usher until next year's Karban Omer? Once a Karban Omer has happened after the Hashrasha, do we assume that that's a permanent heter, no matter what you do with it? Or do we assume that if you take it out of the ground and put it back in, you can restart the process? So that is the That is the Shaila. Now that Shaila has ramifications in two other areas of Halacha, because we're talking about something that you had pulled out of the ground and then put back into the ground. And we want to know, does it have a din of something that's in the ground, or does it have a din of something that's not in the ground? That's not part of the Karka. So where else in Halacha does it matter whether something has a din of Karka or something does not have a din of Karka? So we spoke about this past Shabbos. Yesh lehen ona'a, o ein lehen ona'a. One very important ramification is whether they're a dinim of ona'a. What about the status of mispricing? It was last week's parsha of mispricing items. The halacha by ona'a generally is that if I overcharge somebody by less than 1/6 of the price, so the sale is valid, I don't even have to return the money. If I overcharge him by 1/6 of the price, the sale is valid, but I do need to return the money. If I overcharge him by more than 1/6, he can invalidate the entire sale, get a return of the entire sale, the entire money, and everything. So, but by karka, the halacha is einon al b'karkos. We pointed out the svara, some of the rishonim say by karka, the reason einon al b'karkos is because unlike other things where I can have two items that are exactly identical to each other, and the price is based on what someone would pay for one, someone would pay for the other one. So when I sold you something, but that same item is being sold in all the other stores on the block for $5 cheaper, so it's very obvious that I mispriced it. When it comes to karka, every single bit of karka is one of a kind. So there's no basis for comparison. There is no two, because karka is completely, what makes karka unique is almost entirely based on location. And the location of every karka is different than the location of every other piece of karka. So that's maybe one of the svaras why there's no ona'a by karkos. No matter how much it gets overcharged, it's usur. You're not allowed to overcharge for karkos. You're not allowed to cheat people. But if you do overcharge for karkos, the purchaser doesn't have recourse. He can't invalidate the sale based on ona'a. So what about in this case? What about where you had these little kernels and you put them back in the ground? Are they considered just like they're in a jar somewhere and it's not considered karka, or is it considered karka? So hey chidami, ilay madam le shadai bar shisa va'asus adi v'amidol shadabal chamisha. Well, if he said that, if you're telling the buyer that you put six, let's say, se'in of kernels in the ground, and then a witness comes and says, no, you really only put five, v'amarav kol dav shemidav shemishkol shemidin afilu pachs mikdeo no chozer. Anytime you give specific numbers and you're lying about the numbers, so then even if it's less than the shiro na'a, it would invalidate the sale. Whenever you're talking about specific numbers, why is that so? Because typically the idea of ona'a by less than 1/6 relies heavily on mechila, on the chances that the person is being mochel such a small misprice of the item. But if he's specific about numbers, I want this much, so then you know that he's not being mochel, he's asking for this much. Or if you're telling him, I'm giving you this amount of the item, not just that you quoted him the wrong price, you're telling him you're giving him something and you're not giving him that. You told him you're giving him six and you're giving him five. So then everyone would agree that there is a full-fledged din of ona'a. So that can't be the case. No, the shayla must be a case where he said, I put in everything this land needs. And the witnesses come and say, no, he didn't. He didn't put in what it needs. But he never got specific about quantities. So, yesh len ona'a, the commander shadi b'kat yadamya, the yesh len ona'a, should we assume that it is subject to the din of ona'a, because it's as if it's put in a kli, it's as if it's just put in a jar, and therefore it's like metaltalin, or maybe we assume it's batal to the land, and therefore it's considered part of the land, which is not subject to ona'a. Where else does it matter? What other area of halacha does it matter whether something has a din of karka or doesn't have a din of karka? So the third ramification, nishba'in alayan, o ein nishba'in alayan. There is a halacha that ein nishba'in al karkos. The Gemara said that you don't take shvuos on karkos. So do you take a shvua on this or not? So do we assume it's like it's in a jar and therefore it has a din of metaltalin and therefore you would take a shvu on it? Or maybe you assume it's batal to the land and therefore it's like karka and therefore you would not take a shvu on it? So says Gemara teku. So that question is left as a teku. So this was all the break from the shailas of Rami Bar Chama. This was all Rava Bar Rav Chanan's shaila about the chitin that you planted in the karka, whether the omer is matirid, if it had taken root before the omer, and you had taken it out of the ground. So that was all. That was all the shaila. The shaila related to the shaila related to the omer being matirid. The shaila related to ona'a, and the shaila related to shavua. Fine. Now we move on to the third shaila of Rami Bar Chama. So by Rami Bar Chama, chitin shebegalalei bakar usaorin shebegalalei behema mahu. What is the halachic status of wheat that you find in the excrement of cattle, or barley that you find in the excrement of other animals? So what is the halachic status of such food, of such wheat and such barley? So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean, what is the halachic status? What is the halachic status in terms of what? Can you be Mekadesh Nisha with it? What are you asking? So Lamai, what do you mean? Lagabe what? What issue? So the Gemara is going to have three possibilities. First two rejects, the third one it accepts. First possibility, what we're asking, if you're asking, does it have the ability to be mitame tumas ochlin? Is it treated like food in regards to the laws of tuma and tara, namely that it's mitame kibetza, that it has all the status of food in regards to tuma and tara? So tanina, well, we already learned chitin shebaroi bakar sorin shebegalali behema chishev alein laachila. If you just have in mind that you want to use them for food, then it's not yet metame tumas ochlin. But liktal nachil, if you actually go through the animal excrement, picking out the kernels of wheat and the barley, whatever's in it, in order to eat it, having in mind to eat it, then metame tumas ochlin. Then it can be metame tumas ochlin. Now, why would you go through? Why would anyone in their right mind be going through the? Do we ever find such a thing? So, in years of famine, the Gemara Maseches Ksubos, I think it's Samach Vav and Beis. The Gemara in Maseches Ksubos goes through a story where the daughter of Nakdimon Ben Gurion, who was the richest Jew in all of Yerushalayim at one point, his daughter, during the years of famine after the Churban, the Gemara tells us, was picking out wheat kernels or barley kernels, sa'orim it says, migalali behema, from mitachas behemton shalarvayim, from underneath the animals of Arabs, she was sitting there picking out the barley kernels, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding around Yerushalayim surveying the damage of the Churban, and he saw her, and she immediately pulls herself together, and she says, please give me some food, I'm starving, and he says, bas miat, he says, who are you? She says, bas nakdimon ben Gurion anochi. I'm the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion. So he says, well, I don't understand what happened to all the money from your father's house. So she says that he didn't give enough tzedakah or whatever. She blames whatever happened, that the money was lost. But that Gemara emphasizes, the Gemara says over there in Maseches Ksuvos, that you see that when Klal Yisrael is osin Ritzono Shel Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says that Ashrechem Yisrael, that when Klal Yisrael is osin Ritzono Shel Makom, then we are the most powerful people in the world. Nakdimon Ben Gurion was incredibly powerful. But when we're in osin Ritzono Shel Makom, when we don't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, not only are we lower than the lowest of the nations, here we are underneath even the behemos of the lowest of the nations. So that's the story the Gemara tells in Ksuvos. But you see, in years of famine, when people were really, really desperate, they would be locate the sa'orim from the galale behema. So if you just have a machshava to eat it, so it's not that doesn't raise it to the status of an ochel yet. But if you actually are malakit la'achila, then it does have the status of an ochel. So that's an open and shut halachic case. So what's the shaila about in regards to the barley and the wheat that you find in the animal excrement? It can't be about tumas ochlin. That's a clear halacha. So ela l'menachos. Maybe the shaila is about whether you could bring it as a korban mincha. Says Gemara Pshita, no, it's obvious that it cannot be brought as a korban mincha. Pshita to lo. Hakrivehu na lefacha secha, hayirtzucha o hayisa panecha. The pasuk says, if you would bring this to your governor, you would bring this to an important political person, would he be interested in it? Would he pay any attention to you? Would he be insulted by it? So only something that's going to be respectful for people, l'kalapachos, can you bring as a korban? So absolutely, this cannot be brought as a korban. So that can't be the issue. So again, what is the issue that Rami Bar Chama is asking about? Says Gemara, lo tzricha dinaktinu vizarinu v'kabayu la'asuyim minachos minayu. Let's say you take it, you pick it out of the excrement, and then you plant it in the ground, and stuff grows from that. Can you bring a korban from that, from the growth? Not that you're bringing it itself. It itself is obviously disgusting. You wouldn't bring that. But from the growth that comes out of it, my, what's the din? Mishum dema isusahu v'kimen dezarinu azlumi asusaihu. Do we assume that the whole problem was that it was disgusting, but once you've planted it, the disgustingness has gone away? Or maybe it's because of the weakness of it, and that once it goes through an animal's digestive system, it becomes much weaker. It becomes it loses its potency. And this also, even if you plant it in the ground, whatever it produces, it's going to be genetically flawed. I mean, it's going to be not genetically, but it's going to be flawed. Whatever it produces is going to be a much weaker kind of produce, and therefore it's not appropriate to bring as a carbon. So maybe that's the issue with bringing it as a carbon. So take, the Gemara says, we're not sure what the answer to this shaila is. Final shaila of Rami Bar Chama, shaila number 4. Boy Rami Bar Chama, peel shabala kfifa mitzvahs. Let's say an elephant swallowed a basket of reeds, v'ikia derech beis harayi, and then it defecated this basket. Mahu, what's the din of the basket? So the Gemara again wants to know, what do you mean, what's the din of the basket? So ilema, if you mean to ask limivatel tumasa, that is the fact that it went through the elephant's digestive system mivatel its tuma, meaning the basket was tummy beforehand. Now we want to know if the fact that it went through the elephant takes away its status of tuma. So Tanina, we already learned about that. Kala kelim yardu l'day tumasan b'machshava, that in general kelim are first considered to be complete kelim when you think that you are done making it and it is now complete and therefore it's now ready to be mekabel tuma. But ve'ein olin mitumasan, but if it's already tame and you want it to no longer be considered a kli, you want it to be olin mitumasan, that can only happen el b'shinu maisa, if it goes through a physical change. If the elephant swallowed a basket and defecated a basket, it didn't go through a physical change. It's still the same basket. So it would still be tame. So that can't be the shayla. So the shayla must be, not lo tzricha debala hutzin v'abdinu kfifa mitzras. One of the elephants swallowed basket material and then defecated the basket material, and you were able to still use that material to fashion a basket out of it. So you made a basket out of material that has been through the elephant's digestive system. Do you assume that this has a din? Me have an equal havale kiklei galalim kiklei adama ve'in mekablim tuma. Do we say that, well, since it's been digested, it has a status of klei galalim, which is not mekabel tuma? Damar mar klei avanim klei galalim klei adama ein mekablim tuma, because we know the halacha is it's not mekabel tuma, lo mi divrei Torah, lo mi divrei Sofrim, that kelim made out of animal excrement or not mekabel tuma. Odilma lo avi equal, or maybe we assume that it's not considered digested, and therefore it would still have a din of reeds, and therefore it would still be mekabel tuma. So that's the shaila. So says Gemara Tifshot Daimeha the Amar Ula Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehud Tzadok. So maybe we can answer this based on what Ula said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehud Tzadok. What did he say? As follows. Maiso balu ze'evim. It once happened that wolves swallowed up shnei tinokos. Rachman al-Slam, they swallowed two babies. Be'ever yardin, never yardin. Uba maiso lefnei chacham. And the maiso came to the chacham to find out what the halachic status. The wolves digested the babies and then excreted the babies. So we want to know what's the halacha, the halachic status of the babies. So v'tiyarua sabasa, the chacham said the flesh of the babies that had been through the wolves' digestive systems is tahar, because it doesn't have a din of basar anymore. Now it has a din of whatever comes out of a wolf, whatever a wolf eats, and whatever comes out of a wolf, it has a din of the galalim of a wolf, and therefore it's tahar. It doesn't have tumas basar. It doesn't have tumas mace. So don't you see clearly from there that whatever goes through an animal's digestive system, it's panim chadashos ba'olukan, it's a brand new entity. It's not considered the same thing it was when it was swallowed. So says Gemara, shiny basar derakich. Basar is different, because basar is soft. So soft things get digested really well, and therefore it doesn't have any it doesn't bear any resemblance to the original product that the animal swallowed, in this case, the babies. So therefore, that's why it's not metame. But over here, we're talking about swallowing reeds that come out looking pretty much like reeds. So therefore, maybe it still has a din of something that's mekabel tumah. So it says, okay, lifshut misefa. Maybe we could be poshet the shayla from the seifa, because it says that, yes, they were metare the basar, but vitimuas ha'atzamos. They were metame the bones. Why were they metame the bones? Because the bones come out the same way they went in. They look exactly the same when they come out, the same way when the wolf swallowed them. So the bones are still metame tumas meis. So therefore, maybe we should say the same thing by the elephant that swallowed the reeds. When the elephant swallows the reeds, they come out the same way they went in, and therefore they're unaffected. Says Gemara, no. Shiny atzamos takushe tvei. Bones are really hard. That's something that doesn't get changed at all when it gets swallowed. So that's a very different situation. Over here, the elephant swallowed something that's somewhere in between basar and atzamos, and we're not sure what the halachic status should be. Should it have the status of the basar, or should it and therefore be like galalim, or should it have the status of like when something swallows atzamos, where it still has its original status, it could still be Mekabel Tuma. Now, if Tosfos on Amud Aleph on the bottom asks, wait a second, this case of Bala Hutzin, where it swallows the Hutzin and then you make a basket out of it and you want to know what the status is, it says Tema. We just said before that if you find wheat kernels or barley kernels in an animal's excrement, and you have a machshava that you want to eat it, not just machshava, but you're malakit it, having in mind to eat it, that it has a din of ochel. Well, why should it have a din of ochel? If a person takes animal excrement and decides he wants to eat it, because he's got whatever emotional problems he has, so he decides he wants to eat it, that has a din of ochel. It doesn't have a din of ochel, even if there's no achshavei like that, that it takes on the status of tumas ochlin, just because he decides he wants to eat it. So you see clearly from that case that it's still considered wheat, it's still considered barley, once it's been through the animal system. So why should it be any different over here? When the animal swallows the reeds, why should it be any different that it should still have its regular tumas status? So says Tosos, a couple of answers. Number one, he says, Yeshlomar shiny tumas ochlin de toli beru'i lager olekelev. When it comes to tumas ochlin, it all depends on whether it's edible. V'hasam hichazya afilu lager afilu mize'evim shabalu tinokos v'tiros abasar aval mize'evim shabalu tinokos v'tiros abasar v'timos atzamos asi shapir tumas meis lo talia elabi ichuli. He says, when it comes to tumas ochlin, the status of tumas ochlin depends on whether it's edible. The status of tumas kalim has nothing to do with whether it's edible. By this case of the elephant, we're not talking about tumas ochlin. We're talking about whether it's tame as a kli. Now, by the wolf that swallows the babies, we're not talking about the basar of the babies as ochlin. It's not tumas ochlin. We're talking about tumas meis. Tumas meis also has nothing to do with whether it's edible. So that's a good raya, meaning you could bring rayas from different kinds of tuma, from tumas meis to tumas kalim. You just can't bring rayas from tumas ochlin to tumas kalim, because tumas ochlin has completely different criteria. The criteria of tumas ochlin are totally dependent on whether one would eat it. Tosfos also says, Odi Shlomar, Decha Diyatza Derech Beisarei, Havi Ichol Tvei, Mehasam Denimtza Bemeyav. That it could be different if you find it inside the animal's stomach or not. But anyway, that's one of the answers to Tosfos. It could also be, Tosfos says, anything that's Shalem and Nikr Bishlemuso, clearly that it remains intact and has obviously not been digested properly, because the animal's body hasn't been able to digest it and the raya is that it's still intact, so that would clearly have a din of something that's intact. It would not have a din of galalim. So you can't bring the raya from the chitin and the sorum, because it remains unchanged. We were talking about where you're picking it out of the animal, where you could see it clearly, where it remains fully intact. Whereas over here by the elephant, the elephant excreted it. It doesn't look exactly the same. It's still usable, but it's not exactly the same. It's been affected in some way. Okay. Anyway, that's the issue that Tosfos deals with. Says the Gemara Vayter, by Reb Zera. Reb Zera raises the following shaila. Very unclear what his shaila is. Let's see. Reb Zera raises the following shaila. Chitin sheyardu ba'avim mahu. When wheat comes down in the clouds, what's the halacha of such wheat that comes down in the clouds? So, first of all, what's he talking about? And second of all, what do you mean, what's the halacha? What's the halacha in regards to what? So let's answer that second question first, because that the Gemara deals with directly. Lamai nafkamin, are you asking what the status is? What the status is for what? Ilam anachos amai lo. If you want to know, can such wheat be brought for a carbon mincha? Well, why not? If it's wheat, it's wheat. I don't care where it comes from. It can come from the ground, it can come from the clouds, wherever it comes from. It doesn't make a difference. Elo l'shtei alechem. No, the shayla is going to be used for the carbon of the shtei alechem. Mai. Do we say that since the pasuk says Mimosh Vasechem, what's Mimosh Vasechem coming to exclude? It's only coming to tell me that you can't bring grain from Chutzla Aretz for the Shtei Alechem. Aval Davim Shapir Dami. But if you want to bring grain from the clouds, Gazuntahed, you can bring grain from the clouds. Odilma Mimosh Vasechem Dafka Vafil Dav Namilo. Or maybe Moshe Vasechem is not just coming to exclude Chutz La'aretz, but the emphasis is that it's coming to tell me that it must be from Eretz Yisrael, and not from the clouds. It has to be from the place in Eretz Yisrael, the ground in Eretz Yisrael, where you live. So that's the shaila. If the grain comes from the clouds, is that a violation of Mimosh Vasechem for the Shtei Alechem? What's the Iker emphasis on the requirement of Mimosh Vasechem? Is the Iker emphasis that it has to come from Eretz Yisrael, or is the Iker emphasis that it cannot come from Chutz La'aretz? So says Gemara, wait a second, Umiika ki agavna, does this ever happen, that grain comes from clouds, that we're asking such a shayla? Where says, in, yes, absolutely it does. Kida adi tayar nachisa le'rum kizivu chiti v'tlasa parsi. You know, like that one traveling merchant who once had this situation where he had a tefach high of grain over the course of three parsaos that all came from the clouds. All of it came straight from the clouds. And he had all this stuff. So we all know that famous maisa where it did happen. So don't ask me if it can happen. Of course it can happen. So, okay, so what's the shayla? What happened exactly? So Rashi says that Shiyardu Ba'avim, Ima Matar, came down with the rain, Kishashasu Ha'avim Bu'ukainus, Balu Svina Malayachitin. That we all know how the atmosphere works. We learned in science in elementary school that the water comes up from the ocean and it gets drawn up into clouds, and then the clouds get blown over a dry land, and it rains out onto the ground. The clouds move over and it rains out onto the ground. So the shaila was that instead of just picking up water from the ocean, while it was picking up the water from the ocean, it also picked up a boat full of wheat. And then it moved over, you know, the clouds, in the clouds was the boat full of wheat, and the clouds moved over, and the wheat came raining down. So that's the shayla. So Fractosos, Pirush B'Kuntros, Shoshasa B'Kainos B'Bal Sfina M'Leichitin, V'Kashal Arbeinu Tam, Di'imi Chutzal Aretz, V'Chihutzal Shtei Alachim B'Shvil Shayu Ba'avim. He says, I don't get it. Well, this wheat came from somewhere first. If it was in a boat, it grew somewhere. And the halach is the Shtei Alachim can't come from Chutzal Aretz. So if the boat was coming from Chutz La'aretz, I don't care that it spent some time in the clouds. Tosfos doesn't ask more obvious kasha on Rashi, which is clouds don't pick up boats. But the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara asked, does that ever happen? And the Gemara said, yes, it does. It happened that one time with that guy. But the Tosfos asks, I don't understand. If it comes from Chutz La'aretz, so Chutz La'aretz, the fact that it spent time in clouds shouldn't be matir the grain for Shtei Alechem just because it was in clouds once. And he may Eretz Yisrael, and if it was grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, what, spending time in clouds makes a puzzle? Why should it make a puzzle? If it grew in Eretz Yisrael, it's perfectly good grain. Obviously, we're talking about a nes over here. We're not talking about a natural phenomenon that Rashi's explaining, of some sort of tornado or something that he must be describing, where it picks up a whole boat from the ocean and then it drops it somewhere on dry land. We're talking about something that's derech nes, chitim come out, derech nes. And that's the Gemara Shaila, can it be brought for Shtei Alechem? Is the hakpada that a daf could not be from Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it's okay, because it's not from Chutz La'aretz, it's from nes, it's from Shemaim? Or is the hakpada that a daf could be brought from Eretz Yisrael? There's a tshuva, the Nodav Yehuda, in Tinyana Chelik Arachayim Siman Samach Zayin, where the Nodav Yehuda was asked how the Gemara could discuss about wheat that comes down in the clouds, whether it's kosher for Karban Mincha or not, since it comes with the clouds, didn't it become chametz? Because it comes down with the water of the clouds, so doesn't that make it chametz? And the halacha is that a mincha can't be chametz unless it's the ten loaves of the Karban Todah. There are only two menachos that are ba'us chametz. So doesn't that necessarily make it that it's going to be pasul? And the Shoal says, don't tell me that the Gemara is talking about the chametz and the lach metoda, because we already learned that the lashon Gemara the menachos implies all menachos. That's what the Mordechai says in the second paragraph of Pesachim. So that's what the Shoal asks. And the Shoal also says, plus rainwater is warmer and therefore is machmitz more quickly. So rainwater should for sure be machmitz it. Now the Yehuda says, I don't know where you got that from. Rainwater isn't warm, it's not machmitz. Well, I don't know. He says, I don't know where you got that idea from. But that's the shaila of the Shoal. The Shoal asks the Nodav Yehuda, how could it not be chametz? So Nodav Yehuda says, who says the rain came down with the wheat? It just says wheat came down. Especially according to Tulsa, says Ali de Nais. Wheat certainly could have come down. And even according to Rashi, that it came down with the rain. It just means Rashi says a boat got swallowed up by the clouds. So it could be that the wheat came down in bags and sacks, that it was in the boat in impenetrable sacks that were totally dry on the inside. And that's how the wheat came down. He says, I don't see where you ever get this idea. Why you get this idea that it must have become wet. There is a major discussion in the Achronim, it's a very fascinating topic, about something that is the product of a nes, what its status is halachically. Klechemda quotes that according to Tosos, it's mevuar, that when you bring a menachos, that you're allowed to bring menachos al yidei chitim shal nes, chitim that were produced by a nes. And you have to say that even chitim that are ba al yidei nes are called a chita. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to bring it for a karban mincha. Why is that an important topic? It's discussed Chanukah time. This is the famous Ha'ar of Reb Chaim, where some of the Achronim ask the Shaila, everyone asks the Shaila, why we celebrate 8 days of Chanukah. There were only we had enough oil for one day, and one of the answers given is that Tosa Rush gives is that all the shemen was put into the menorah on the first day, and it didn't go down at all on the first day, so they already recognized the nes on the first day because the oil didn't go down at all. Says Reb Chaim, then what was burning on the first day? It was shemen shel nes. It wasn't shemen zayis. And the halacha is that the menorah has to be with shemen zayis, not with shemen shel nes. And therefore, it's puzzle because shemen shel nes is not shemen zayis. But over here, you see chitin shel nes is called chitin. So this is a major discussion in the Achronim. You have throughout Tanakh and Shas, other cases where things happen al yidei neis, there's a discussion whether gidulei neis or chayiv nafashu shumas or maisos, based on the story of Malachim with Eishes Ovadia. You have the story of Malachim with the Isha at Sarfis, where you could discuss whether it's chayiv nafashu schala. The Radak understands that story where she asks Elisha whether it's chayiv nafashu schala or not. You have a whole bunch of fascinating Mar Makomas on this topic, but don't have time for it right now. Let's go a little bit weiter. By Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Shibola sheviu shlish kodem laomer va'akra v'shasla la'achra omer v'alsifa mahu. What if you have grain that had grown one third of its growth before the Karban Omer, and then it was uprooted, and then you replanted it after the Karban Omer, and it grew more? So what's the din? Basar ikras linan v'sharya. Do we say, well, it had already become mutter from the Karban Omer because it had already taken root, obviously, and more than taken root, it grew one third, and when the Karban Omer was born, and therefore it was already matirit v'sharya omer dilma basar tosefes as linan v'atshiav omer abo. Or maybe you say, no, now that it's planted anew, whatever grows new has a new status that was not hutar by the previous omer. The major kasha that the Rishonim deal with, Rashi already deals with over here, is why do we give an example that Sivu Shlish, that it grew one third? The Shaila could just be that it was Hishrish. The Karban Omer is Matir, whatever took root. You don't have to wait till it's Sivu Shlish, till it grows one third. If it just takes root, that's enough to be Matirit. Okay, so there are good answers to that question. We don't have time for it right now. Maybe we'll start with that tomorrow if Salvejic is a beautiful piece. So Tifshat Leime Hadam Rabbi Avoh Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So maybe we can answer from based on Rabbi Avoh Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yalda Shesimcha Bizakena. If you have a young tree that's still in Arla years that you graft together with an old older tree, ba peros, and it has fruits on it, afilu hosif b'masayim aser, even if it grow, those fruits grow 200-fold, since they're connected to the older tree, they're still aser, because be'ikr, they were still fruit, arla fruits. V'amrab shomar nachmeni amrab yonan son, betzel sheshasl b'kerem, if you have an onion growing in a vineyard, so it's kilei akerem, v'ne'akar akerem, then you remove the vineyard, afilu hosif masayim, even if the onion grows 200-fold, aser, it's still going to be aser, because you still go basa the ikr. So you see, we're poshet the shaila that you go basa the ikr. Says Gemara, no, he gufa kami baile. This, we knew those halachos. We wanted to know what was behind those halachos. Was there certainty behind those halachos, or those halachos stated mitam safek? So mifshat pshitul the rabbanon to basa the ikr as linan. Are the rabbanon certain that you go basa the ikr? Lo shal lekula v'lo shal lechumra. And they would say so, even if it meant going lekula. Odil masfuke misafkulu lechumra min lekula lo minan. Or maybe they're mesupak whether you go basa the ikr or not, and therefore they're machmir in that case. But we want to know, would you even go basa the ikr lekula, like in our case, and say that the omer was already matirit? So teku, that remains unresolved. Okay.